Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? You good? Well, welcome to Barah Ministries, the Christian Church. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, and it's a spiritual gift given to me by God the Father for your benefit. It's a spiritual gift that is used for evangelizing to unbelievers by preaching the gospel of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual gift for the building of a church filled with members of the body of Christ to provide them a sanctuary in Satan's kingdom. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is his exact thinking. The Bible is the absolute truth, and it is without error and without contradiction. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says this, "Who has known the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ so well that he will be qualified to instruct him?" And the answer, of course, is no one. But we believers in Christ have the benefit of the mind of Christ. So we ask you a question, where is your soul tuned? Because we're here to let God rehabilitate and renew our mental condition so that we can deal with the cares and worries of this life from a state of contentment. God gives us his word for our benefit and for our use. The word of God helps us to learn how to do things the easy way. The word of God warns us to avoid doing things the hard way. And so God gives us his word to solve human problems well in advance of need. There are some problems that you're going to have next Wednesday that you don't even know about yet, and the word of God that you learn today is going to prepare you mentally to deal with those from a state of contentment. So welcome to Bible study for the refreshment of renewing in a place where you can learn from God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "Put on the new self, believers in Christ, that new self that is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it." And the creator of the new self we know is the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. Welcome to a place where you can, in humility, receive the word of God implanted, which is able to save your souls. As God prepares you, believers in Christ, for the renewing of your mind, let's worship our Lord in song. And the opening song is, "He Remembers to Forget."
Salvation's door is open, whosoever can enter in. Christ died for the whole world, all you need is to believe. God wants none to perish, your sins aren't a memory. When stumbling into sinfulness, we need not hide. 'Cause God keeps his promises, all that he has made. Restoration is provided, and we can boldly say, as then he'll remember you. He'll remember you. He'll remember you. Never to forget.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Make obvious to us our spiritual gifts. Give us the courage to step forward into the abyss of the unknown, to express our ministries as ministers in this lost and dying world under the direction of your enabling power. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 1, the ministries within a ministry. Proclaim faith. The ministries within a ministry. Proclaim faith. We continue our study of faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15 contain Paul's prayer for the purpose of his ministry. And Romans chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "First, I, Paul, thank God the Father in prayer through Jesus Christ's name, for all you believers in Rome, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world, all throughout the Roman Empire. The desire for Berah Ministries to proclaim its faith throughout the whole world brings to mind a word we hear all the time, ministry. But what is a ministry? A ministry is a calling given to you by God and centered in service to the Lord Jesus Christ, in which you use your spiritual gift as you choose in service to others. The most important words there are, as you choose. Now, that requires something of you. It says, okay, well, how do you choose to use your spiritual gift? What ministry do you choose to have within this ministry? And that immediately invites you to this thing called other focus. Because that's what Christianity is, really. It's other focus. That's what makes Christianity different from everything else. Other focus. Our God the Father loved you so much that he sent his uniquely born son to a cross so that you could be saved, so that you would have the potential to be saved. You can make no other conclusion about that, except that's other focus. Well, how about you? Are you other focused? Or are you self-focused? I mean, as a foundational approach to life, is it you first all the time? Or do you lean on the, do you lean toward the other spectrum? I had an interesting experience at Gino's Pizza in Chicago this week. We had a waitress, and she was really she was really a nice person. She was from Laos. And so at the end of the meal, she gave me the check, and I said, "How much of a tip do you want?" And she said, "Well, just give me anything you'd like me to have." And I said, "Well, I want you to have a buck." She said, "Well, then give me a dollar." I said, "No, come on. How much would you like to have?" And she said, "Honestly, it's just whatever you want to give me is fine with me." And I said, "No, you have to have goals. You know, like you need to say stuff like, something like, yeah, give me 30%. She said, "Okay, how about 40%? Yeah, I told her, "Get off the crack." I gave her 40%. I gave her what she asked for. You know, but that certainly wasn't self-focus. You ever try that? Just for practice? Just for practice. If it's $8 or $16, who cares? Really. It's not that big a deal. But it can make somebody else's day. And then if I had had "And You Will Be Saved" with me, which never think to carry the thing, what a great entry to a real conversation with somebody about their salvation. These are easy ways to evangelize and to have a ministry. Being personable and then giving somebody the gift of salvation through a publication. What does it cost us? A dollar? It's nothing, really. Your generosity cares for that. Ministry, a calling given to you by God and centered in service to the Lord Jesus Christ, in which you use your spiritual gift as you choose in service to others. By the way, today there is no third lesson. We're not going to have a lesson after this lesson. What we're going to do is we're going to have a dialogue after this lesson. So we're going to do the announcements, and then we're going to do the offering, and then I'm going to come and sit out there among you and give you a piece of paper, and you write down any questions you have, and we're going to talk. And that's going to become a regular feature in Barah Ministries so that we break down the walls of didactic. I talk and you sit there. And there's nothing wrong with didactic, but it's a lot more fun to have a conversation every once in a while. Oh, but you're a pastor. You can't come on the other side of the pulpit and talk to us, and I get scared talking in public. Yeah, whatever. That's not how people with ministries act. So when I come on the other side and I sit out there, I fully expect every single one of you to ask me a question. And I fully expect every one of you to participate, and I don't care how tough the question is. I'm kind of sorry that some of the people who like asking tough questions aren't here today. But there is no tough question. You know, how are we going to build this ministry, this church, and create an atmosphere here where people want to be here and people want to learn? And, you know, those are some of the things that you can talk about in that. You know, I'd like to learn blah, blah, blah. Well, talk about it. You know, there's no way for me to know what you want to learn. I'm not clairvoyant. I know what I want to teach you, but I don't know what you want to learn or how you want to learn. Maybe you want to learn differently than we're teaching you. I'm certainly open to that. So ministry, the ministries within Barah Ministries are the entities that proclaim our faith throughout the whole world. You are a minister, but the question I ask you is this: what is your ministry? Teenagers, you have a ministry. You know, I know most teenagers think their ministry is to be a pain in everybody's butt, but you have a ministry. Well, what is your ministry? What difference do you make? Well, I don't know, that's whack. Like, what, like, difference could I, like, make? Well, the first difference you can make is stop saying like when you are not making a comparison, right? That would be a great ministry to the world. Get a little vocabulary. But seriously, I see in other ministries around the world, teenagers making a big difference. And they get together, and they have all these ideas, and they conspire, and they come out with this great thing. Like, there are these things called luminaries. And one ministry was the teenagers were selling luminaries. And they donated the money to cancer research. It was very cool. Teenagers doing that. That's fantastic. And that's a ministry. Because it involves doing something that is for others other than self. And that's amazing, and it could just be as simple as that. It doesn't have to be this big, complicated thing. What is your ministry? What is your calling, and what is your purpose? I don't know what it is. It doesn't have to be like that. You know, it could be as simple as writing cards to people who are sick. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the idea of ministries. Within Barah Ministries, we know that everyone has a spiritual gift. And we know that God gave us this gift to be used. In the last lesson, I taught about churches and what a church really is. And how there's a universal church that's run by God, and there's a local church where God assembles a group of believers in a location. And that's what we're talking about now. We're talking about the location and the ministries that can be expressed within the location. This unique and beautiful thing that can be created, this organism that can be created that expresses itself. And so God gave us the spiritual gift to be used. You have a choice to ask God to make your ministry known to you, to make your spiritual gift known to you, and then you can deploy it in his service. And God is not a God of confusion, according to 1 Corinthians 14:33. He's a God of peace. He's a God who makes himself clearly visible, who is able to be seen even in creation, so that we are without excuse. God gives each of us a calling, and another word for calling is purpose. God gives us purpose. God is not confused or confusing. God does not work in mysterious ways. He works in predictable and obvious ways. And so God is not hiding from us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know our spiritual gift. He wants us to know our ministry, and he wants us to express it. He wants us to know our calling. But let's face it. Often, we are content to stay in a state of ignorance about our spiritual gift and about our ministry. And see, here's the funny thing. When we stay in a state of ignorance about our spiritual gift and about our ministry, we think that we're doing something special by doing that. But what we're really doing is building a lifestyle of unbelief. And we can't understand when those things come into our lives that are really important to us. We can't understand why we can't ever make them work. And we can't make them work because we don't practice making them work. We practice being incapacitated, debilitated, and paralyzed. And then it becomes a lifestyle. I don't think I could have done it any different than that. I didn't have a choice. You see, I don't know how. That becomes a lifestyle. Choose something and act. And fail at it a bunch of times and watch your competence grow. Move from confusion to clarity to confidence. The confidence never comes first. Confusion comes first. How do you know when you're learning? The first step of learning is confusion. A teacher comes in and teaches something that is not in your repertoire, and they scramble your eggs, they kick over your Legos, they tear down a structure that's in your mentality. And the first feeling is confusion. And what do we want to do as soon as we feel that? Get back to comfort. Get back to comfort. No, wallow in the discomfort for a little while and watch God work through his enabling power. There are several ministry opportunities within Barah Ministries. Each ministry, to my way of thinking, since it is centered in Christ, is in the pursuit of wow. When somebody comes in contact with your ministry, they should experience it this way. Wow. When I talk to people about religion, for example, and I'll tell people, religion is Satan's strategy to make you indifferent or antagonistic to God. Does it work? You know, the first thing they say to me is, wow, I never looked at it like that. No, you absolutely did look at it that way. They absolutely did look at it that way. They just never had anybody else express what they were already feeling inside, that religion is horrible, that nothing ever good has come from religion. Ever. Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us, religion is horrible. Woe to you, religious scribes and Pharisees, whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And he didn't say it nicely. He was in their face. When somebody touches your ministry, they should say, wow. People are always asking me, what kind of pastor are you? One like you've never experienced before. One that you can't put in your little pastor box. Because the first thing I'm going to do, I almost have an instinct for it. If you don't like swearing, the first thing I'm going to do is let out like 90 words in a row. And then you're going to know that I'm not like every other pastor. Yes, do pastors swear? I do. Yeah. Yeah, pastors are human beings. How could that pastor do that? Because he's human. And now there goes your little box. You have to think differently. And you also have to put a mirror up when you're pointing your finger at the pastor and not understand why he's doing certain stuff. You have to put up a mirror to yourself and say, why am I doing that? I'm doing stuff that I wouldn't want published in the paper. Right? And so then what do we get off the table? We're not phonies. You and I are the same person. We just have different spiritual gifts. I'm stupid enough to come up here and talk to you every week three times. And you sit out there and stare. But we have spiritual gifts. When somebody comes in contact with your ministry, they should experience the wow of that ministry. So here are a few of the ministry opportunities in Barah Ministries. And I'm going to talk a little more depth about them this week. Fundraising is one. So Raphael came to me today and he did some investigation of fundraising. He said, you know, we're not ready for the thing that you were talking about. You know, it was the thing where somebody will come in and we'll pay $25,000. They'll do a survey of our ministry and they'll tell us how much money they could raise for our building. And this is an organization that could, for $120,000, go get you $2 million. If you're ready for it. He said, we're not ready for it. I knew we weren't ready for it. And the first thing that came into my mind is, what's the big deficiency? What's the deficiency more than anything else? And two words flipped into my mind, and the next two words out of his mouth were those two words, community outreach. Because the first thing somebody wants to know when they come in here and start inspecting us for giving us money is, what's your community outreach? You're in this location. How do you affect the community around you? Well, we are a spiritually mature group of believers who are the pivot. What are you talking about? No, I want to know what homeless shelter you went to. I want to know what women's group you affected. I want to know what kids you saved. I want to know what you did. Oh, well, see, what had happened was we haven't gotten to that part yet. Okay, well, call us when you do. God put us in this location to affect things. And so fundraising is one of the things that this organization has to do. And all of it can't come from us, right? It has to come from our ideas. It has to come from our creativity, and we have to be explicit about it. We have to talk about it, because if you want to do cool stuff, you got to have money to do it. I want to completely renovate the video that we use. It's $27,000. And then I will no longer be blurry when you look at the videos. I'm too handsome to be blurry, you know? It's like maybe 10 years from now, as I start, when I get my walker, then I want to be blurry. I don't want people to see. But right now, I want people to see. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Zoom in. Now that I have eyebrows, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I not only have eyebrows, I have the bushiest eyebrows in the history of mankind because I am never cutting them again. That is too funny. Jocelyn, you don't understand that, and you're wondering what they're talking about right now. See, about 2 months ago, I was trimming my eyebrows, and I cut a big gash in them, so that I just shaved my eyebrows off. And I'm feeling your girlfriend. She looked just like, what? That's whack. Yeah. It's just unfortunate that I didn't do it in October because I could have been, you know, a pervert for Halloween or something like that. But it's too bad. Did it in August. So fundraising is one of the ministries of our organization. And we have to figure out ways to do it. And there are gazillions of organizations that are dying to give a local church that is aspiring money. They are. And we just have to get ourselves in a position to be ready to receive it. Nursery is a ministry. What I would like to have happen is if people in this ministry have children who are nursery age, that when they come in here, there is juice boxes, Pampers, you know, what else? Emily, help me. What else does the little schmagaggies need? What else? Huh? Toys? Yeah, toys, wipes, all that stuff. I've forgotten. But what I'd like somebody who's running the nursery to do is go to Target, and Target in Gilbert, there are Targets in Gilbert, and they have community outreach. They want to give people free stuff. And I want us to go there and tell them we are a 501c nonprofit organization, and we would like to have you provide us with a year's worth of Pampers, juice boxes, They do stuff like that. We had a function recently, and Starbucks in the community gave us a bunch of coffee. You know, maybe y'all could go to Dunkin' Donuts and get a brother a sandwich or something every week. Amen? No. Bolsa Donuts, get us like 3-4 dozen a week just by outreach. Asking. So the nursery. And when somebody comes into a nursery with their kid, and there is this wow of what is provided based on our creativity of mindset, not our shelling out of money. It's amazing. The kids ministry, when the kid comes in and the whole focus of what we're doing with the kids is evangelizing them in such a way that they leave knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt and being able to articulate beyond a shadow of a doubt who Jesus Christ is and how you get to heaven. I can't tell you how many kids that I have seen evangelize to families that are religious and change the family. Because they saw a puppet evangelizing to them and they went home and they couldn't stop repeating it. That's an opportunity. To which the families would say, wow, that ministry really taught my kid how to get to heaven. I can't believe it. And my kid is talking about it at home instead of playing video games. The teen ministry, where teens actually learn that they are more than simply cretins. That they learn that they can have impact in the world and that they don't have to be herd bound. And they don't have to be looking for the approval of the stupidest group of human beings on the planet who think they know everything and don't pay rent. But our teens, at 13 years old, a kid turns from listening to the parents to listening to a group of stupid people and being overly concerned with how they look. They become completely self-focused and emotional. And overly concerned with how they look to a group of people that will not be their friends 10 years from now. That they will not even have contact with 10 years from now. And right now, in their head, those people are so big. I don't keep in touch with one person from high school. And I keep in touch with 5 people from college. And I went to college for 8 years and 2 universities. Now, that's the truth. And our teenagers need to understand that. That they need to stand up right now at the most critical time of their lives and assert who they are. And they need to stop listening to the parents who are saying to them, you just need to be kids. Amen? And I want a ministry that teaches them that. To which everyone would say, wow. Publications for evangelism and spiritual growth. Publications. There are so many opportunities. You know, we don't necessarily envision ourselves as all that articulate. But a short 10 to 15 page publication like God Cares for You can be handed to somebody and it can change their lives at a critical moment. We run into people all the time. We're hearing them talk about sad tales. Well, I'm financially. You ever watch Undercover Boss? Which is an amazing show, and I watch it because you can get a grasp on the human condition. The things that we don't even think about when we're in our little suburb, in our little shelter behind our white picket fence in our nice house. And we don't even think about the fact that there are real people who can't even afford the gas money to get to work, who are great people who are possessed to do the right things and don't even know how. We can impact them. We can lead them to a ministry like this. And we can lead them to the resources, the people of a ministry like this and make a difference in their lives. That's what I want to do. publications for evangelism, calling people to Christ, letting people know how to get to heaven, publications for spiritual growth during the times when we as Christians are down, having a quick little thing to go to, a little publication to go to remind us who we are, priests, ambassadors, saints, holy and blameless, in union with Christ, with absolute righteousness, completely justified, redeemed, reconciled, beautiful, to remind us in one central place who we are. Then translating those publications to other languages. Habla español? Right? There are people in here who habla español. We've had "And You Will Be Saved" translated into Spanish, and we just need somebody to take that and run it across the finish line. Get it into publication. Finances. There is a person in the ministry who has agreed to help us structure our finances in such a way that they would be appealing to a bank if the bank was to loan us money. Things that a pastor shouldn't be thinking about, doesn't think about whether the pastor is good with money or not. The internet and the website, which is a tremendous tool of impact. How can we use that differently? How can we turn this into a high-tech ministry where young or old, the people in this ministry are not afraid that a limb is going to fall off if they get an iPad. You know, that a limb is going to fall off if they sign up for a podcast and let all the lessons download to it. And if they put on the white buds or the Bose headsets with the noise canceling feature. Mark Pomeroy, who handles our website, did a bit of research for us on Google Analytics. And so I wanted to share some of that with you. You know, for the last 2 years, what has been Baram Ministries United States outreach via the website? 50 states have tuned in. People from 50 states have tuned into our website. In the first 2 years of our ministry, that was me traveling to various cities and tuning into the website, right? And now it is no longer that. Here are the top 10 of visits. All right, this is world. No, we got the United States up first. So this is U.S. 50 states. Here are the top 10 states that tune into our website. Arizona, Texas, California, New York, Illinois, Florida, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Oregon, and Rhode Island. Those are the top 10 states that tune into our website. Over the last 2 years, we have had 50,703 visits to our website in the United States of America. What do you think about that? How about our worldwide outreach? We have reached 25 countries through our website. Here are the top 10. The United States, Australia, Canada, South Korea, the United Kingdom, Taiwan, Nigeria, the United Arab Emirates, and Mexico and India. 56,135 visits from international locations in the last 2 years. All of these results come from a few people not trying very hard. So imagine what it would be like if we did this actually on purpose. Imagine what this would look like if we actually did it on purpose. Evangelism is a ministry that is vacant and we are in desperate need of. Elders. What are elders? Pastors, deacons, administrators that help run an organization, that give advice, that lead the organization. Audio, right? We've got state-of-the-art audio, but, you know, the coolest thing about audio and video is that you can upgrade to an absolutely off-the-hook system for nothing now. You know, audio and video, when I was growing up, was a lot of money. Now it's absolutely nothing $27,000 for what you could do with a video system is nothing. It would have cost $270,000 10 years ago. And now you can get stuff that just boggles your mind for that. And I'm not saying that we have to have the best stuff, but I want the stuff that we have to say, wow. You know, it doesn't take that much more effort to be amazing than it does to be average. So why bother being average when we have the sovereign of the universe on our side? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. How about refreshments? Can a brother get some posted donuts? Amen. Our community outreach. How are we going to reach out into the community? What are our projects going to be that impact our community and change it? A pastor's assistant. Somebody to do research. Maybe an aspiring pastor who wants to do research so that we can put pastor's libraries in place that can be shared with the congregation and can be shared with other pastors as they come along to smooth their transition into being a pastor so that it doesn't take them 5 years to get up to speed. That we could actually gift pastors' libraries to men that we're raising up so that they could have the right library right away. Service to those who are sick. The music ministry. June, how many CDs do you have floating around in your head? How many? It's a number. 40%. It's not a percentage. 3 to 5? All right. Each CD that we have produced for Barah Ministries has cost $5,000. What is the creative way that we can get somebody to pay that so that June can get those 3 to 5 CDs out of her head? And I guarantee you those songs are rich. I've heard some of them. Prayer. Who's going to be the person who steps forward and takes over the ministry of prayer so that we can direct all of the spiritual gunnery of this ministry to specific problems that our friends and people that are within our sphere of influence have? Biblical material in the back, Bibles, CDs, notes. I don't want them sitting there. I want them in people's hands. Who's going to run that? Who's going to make sure that they're ordered on a regular basis and that they're distributed to people? And the building project, which is in the first phase, which is the site plan. Who wants to be a part of that? There are a lot of ministries. These are just a few of the ways that you can serve the Lord, but none of these are particularly unique or particularly creative. But I'd love to see the expression of your own creation. What is the unique ministry that you will bring to Barah Ministries that nobody ever thought of that's just amazing? That's what I want to see. That's what I'm excited about. Take a 5-minute break.
Raise your hands on you.
Welcome back. So here's my question. What is your ministry within Barah Ministries? Here's how a ministry looks. Your name is at the top of it. Your ministry has a name. It's centered in Christ, and it is a particular type of ministry. I'm Rory Clark. I'm a pastor, teacher, and the head of a Christian church. What's your ministry? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you're a temple of God the Father and that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you?" If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a temple of God the Father. There are no spiritual buildings in this age. You are a spiritual building. You are a ministry. You're a walking ministry. And God the Holy Spirit indwells you as your power source, as your teacher, as your mentor, and brings the thoughts to you that are necessary to handle any situation with contentment. So how does your ministry look? Here's the problem. There is no owner's manual to a ministry. There is no set of guidelines. There is no way it's supposed to look. And for many of us, especially those of us who have wired up a lifestyle of unbelief, that whole idea is paralyzing. You know, we've wired up a life where we want everybody, you know, we're baby birds and we open our mouth and we want everybody to drop worms in and tell us the next thing to think and the next thing to say. That's not your life as a Christian. Your life as a Christian is you coming forward and expressing your will and having it be evaluated. And that's one of the things. We're so scared to be judged. We're so scared to be evaluated. But the truth of the matter is, once you're judged or evaluated, what do you care what somebody else's opinion is of your journey? Your journey is unique. And nobody can tell you exactly what that journey ought to be, least of all me. Well, when we have a lifestyle of unbelief, we're always looking for approval before we act. Approval of whom? I'd rather you ask for forgiveness than permission in the creation of your ministry here. So here's how the development of a ministry really works. It has three stages: the formative stage, the normative stage, the integrative stage. Formative stage is the stage of trial and error. And here's the problem with the formative stage. 10 units of energy produces 1 unit of result. So what are the feelings that you typically experience in that stage? Frustration, anger, angst. Come on, let's get going. Impatience, right? But what do you do during trial and error? You try something. If it works, keep it. If it doesn't, throw it out. At a point, you figure out a pattern, and then you're in the normative stage of development. In that stage, 1 unit of energy produces 10 units of result. And it's a stage of ease. The machine is running. But then something will come from the outside that you never expected and will crash your pattern. And the patterns will stop working. And at that point, 100 unit of energy, units of energy produces no units of result. Where is Barah Ministries? Integrative. We're in the integrative phase of our development. Transitioning to a new formative phase. Because this year, our pattern, which was systematic theology, we found to no longer be viable. That was a blow. You don't just get over that. You really don't. Yeah, that's what we'd like to do. People, when they're in the integrative phase, they just say, "I'm over it. Let's move on." Well, okay, if you're over it and you move on, where do you move? You move to the formative phase where 10 units of energy produces 1 unit of result. You're still just as confused as you were in the last thing because you don't know what the new pattern is. So we are transitioning to the formative stage of development as a Christ-centered ministry, not as a doctrine-centered ministry. And I, this morning as I was preparing, I thought back on a comment that a young lady made about me about 3 years ago. She said, "I wish he would stop all that personal crap and just give us the doctrine. I wish he would stop all that personal crap and just give us the doctrine." Now, in light of where we are right now, in light of what we know about Christ, and in light of what we know about ministries, doesn't that statement seem a little stupid? Yet we were surrounded by people who thought just that. Just give me the doctrine and I'm being a great Christian. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. Any more than Jesus Christ would have been a great God sitting on his butt in heaven without coming down here and tabernacling among us and going to a cross to demonstrate that he is our Savior. God brought us together. We can look back on the first 6 years of this ministry and call ourselves and call that development the assembly of the called. God brought us together. And now we can take this core and start to do something with it. And God is going to show us his purpose for us because he created this church in this location to impact this community. And we will follow in faith. We will follow. We will watch to see him show us his purpose for us, and we will follow collectively and individually. In faith, we listen. In faith, we act. Walt Whitman inquired thusly, however, "Darest thou now, O soul, walk out with me toward the unknown region where neither ground is for thy feet nor any path to follow? No map there, nor guide, nor voice sounding, nor the touch of human hand, nor face with blooming flesh, nor lips nor eyes are in that land. I know it not, O soul, nor dost thou. All is a blank before us, all waits, undreamed of in that region, that inaccessible land. We are scared to death as human beings to go out into that unknown region where there is no path, where there is no map, where there is no guide, where there is no one to tell us what to do, what to think, how to be. We are scared to death of our uniqueness. I am not. I am not. I have no desire to follow the herd. I have no desire to do what has been done before. I have all desire to see what the beautiful creation that our souls can spin together in unity and present to our Lord and Savior, whom we love, to his glory. And I await eagerly to know what faces will join us in this quest. As you are discovering and developing your ministry, here are some helpful thoughts. Act your way to success. Don't wait. Interact with others and tap their expertise. And one of the things that we're going to have to know is that we sit next to people in the ministry, but we don't know their expertise. And we need to learn the expertise that, of the people that are around us. Create your own manual for the ministry as if you were handing it off to others. That is my quest now, to create a manual for an aspiring pastor so that that pastor will be able to come in and hit the pastor job running, but that's going to be my guide as well for where we go in the next 5 years. Consult with others, but don't copy others. We're not, you know, we need to talk to other churches about what they're doing, but we don't have to copy what they're doing. We can hear what they're doing, learn from it, but create our own uniqueness. Remember that a ministry is not a business. I talked about that extensively in the last lesson. A ministry is supernatural. And so the rules of business don't apply. Some of the rules of business exist, but they don't apply. And think ridiculously. Believe me, growing up, I had no right whatsoever, based on my surroundings, to think what it was that I saw in my head me becoming. I thought ridiculously. And I'd like to infect you with that thought process. The thought process of leaving the past behind and reaching forward with gusto and abandon to what lies ahead. And as you're developing your ministry, bring all of Barah Ministries to your assistance. Because I see a group of people here who are very interested in giving to others. And I think we should do that. I'm looking forward to seeing what we can create together as we develop the ministries within Barah Ministries. Now, the closing moments of our study today is dedicated to anyone who is without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The central issue for angelic and human creatures during all of divine history is detailed in Matthew chapter 22, verse 42. What do you think about the Christ? What do you think about the Messiah? And I wonder if you have ever been loved, because it's pretty special to be loved, and it's pretty special to love. Love colors our whole viewpoint toward life. Well, I have good news for you today. God loves you. There is nothing you have to do to earn his love. There is nothing you have to do to maintain his love. There is nothing that you can do to lose his love. This is the most special love you will ever have in your life. Excuse me. Every day, somewhere in your periphery, there is a reminder of God's love for you. It's always somewhere in view, and it is a cross. Only this is the thing that we know. The Lord Jesus Christ is no longer hanging on that cross, because we know that our Redeemer lives, and at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. But when we look at that cross and we see the sacrifice that was made there, we marvel. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God the Father demonstrated his unconditional love toward all mankind. And that while we were sinners, while we were unbelievers, while we were despicable, the Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitute for us. So no matter what you think of God, and there are many things that have been that you have been influenced to think about God, that he doesn't exist, that he can't be known, that he's off duty, God's watching us from a distance, that he left us here to fend for ourselves, that he is arbitrary, that he is waiting to come down on you, that he frowns on you, that he's counting up your sins against you so that when you meet him, he can throw them back in your face. Anything but the truth. No matter what you think about God, he loves you unconditionally with a love so powerful and so unbelievable that we can't even relate to it in our humanity. The good news is that no matter what you think of God, God the Father proved his unconditional love for you by sending his son to a gruesome death on a cross on your behalf. The Father demonstrated his love. God the Son voluntarily took on the task of putting on true humanity, becoming the God-man, and he laid down his life to make a relationship with God a possibility for you. John chapter 15, verse 13 says this, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his unconditional love for you by dying on a cross. And as a result, He opened up the possibility of a permanent and unbreakable relationship with God by eliminating the sin problem, the problem of your spiritual death at physical birth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says this, "As in union with Adam, all die spiritually, so also in union with Christ, all will be made spiritually alive. All will be made born again who want it." At physical birth, you were unable to have relationship with God because a barrier existed between the two of you. The good news is that the God who loves you unconditionally died on a cross to remove that barrier between you and him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ is our peace." What does that mean? That means he has nothing against you. The Lord Jesus Christ is our peace, who made both groups, Jews and Gentile, into one group, unity, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. And because of Christ's sacrifice at the cross, all of your sins have been forgiven in the past, with the established and irrevocable fact that they are forgiven forever. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 say this, "God the Father rescued us from the domain of darkness, the domain of unbelief, and he transferred us, believers in Christ, to the kingdom of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of our sins." The good news is that the God who loves you unconditionally and who died for you at the cross wants a relationship with you right now. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, "The Lord is not slow about his promise of a chance at salvation, as some accuse him of. The Lord is patient toward unbelievers, not wishing for any of them to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to repentance," a change of mind about the Lord Jesus Christ. So right now, you can take advantage of God's unconditional love for you by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the invitation in John chapter 14, verse 6. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God. I am the eternal life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me." Acts 16, 31 says, "You take the active step to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive the passive benefit that God will save you, and he will save you and everyone in your household who also believes." John 3:36 says this, "Anyone who believes in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son shall not see eternal life," the Zoe life, "but the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him." So the good news is that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at a single moment in time, you are saved forever. John chapter 10, verse 28 says this, "I give eternal life to believers in Christ, that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." The good news is that you can't work for salvation. It's something God does for you, free of charge, by means of his grace. Romans chapter 11, verse 6 says, "If salvation is by grace," and it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace, the free gift, is no longer grace, a free gift. So right now, you are invited, to have a conversation with God the Father and to tell him that you are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good news is that will be the moment that eternal life begins for you. Here's how a thief on the cross being crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ asked for salvation. Luke chapter 23, verse 42, the repentant thief was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Nine words. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Nine words and the thief was saved. Luke chapter 23, verse 43, and the Lord Jesus Christ said to the repentant thief, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Salvation is a choice you can make, and God takes it from there. No one can make you do it. No one can make you pay attention when the salvation message is being taught. No one can convert you. It's simply a private matter between you and God. And no one can make that decision for you. What's your choice? Closing song, Whosoever.
Thank you.
I'm confident of this very thing, that God the Father, who began a divine good work in the creation of you, will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. So don't fret because of evildoers, and don't be envious toward wrongdoers. They'll wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your hearts and your minds for those of you in union with Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for giving all creatures a so great salvation opportunity. And we pray for all those who are without a relationship with you, that you might go overboard in getting the message to them from sources that they trust, so that they can be saved and have eternal life. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.